Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you what. You can go back to your seats, but don't get comfortable, because I'm telling you, everything that's just happened here goes right along with the sermon God has given me. Hallelujah! 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 Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all! Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all! Hallelujah! Woo! And if our God is for us, who can be against us? Tommy, you don't even know how much that song goes along with the sermon. You have no idea. Thank God for a worship leader that is in tune with God. Hallelujah. For all of our music. I'm telling you, I'm so impressed. Praise God. I want you to get your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel. That's in the Old Testament, chapter 23. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you a little story. It's kind of, it's a true story, but it's kind of comical, but it's going to drive home the point. It's a story about an evangelist who loved to hunt. And this evangelist bought two Irish setter puppies that were top-notch bird dogs. And he kept them in his backyard where he trained them. But one morning, an ornery little vicious-looking bulldog came shuffling and snorting down the alley. He crawled under the fence into the backyard where the little setters spent their day. And it was easy to see he meant business. The evangelist's first impulse was to take his Irish setters and lock them in the basement so that they wouldn't tear up the little bulldog. But he decided to just let the little bulldog learn a lesson he would never forget. So naturally, they got into a scuffle in the backyard, and those two Irish setters and that bulldog went round and round and round. And the little bulldog finally had enough, so he squeezed under the fence and took off. All the rest of that day, he whined and licked his sores. Interestingly enough, the next day, at about the same time, here comes that same little bulldog back under the fence and after those setters. Once again, those two bird dogs beat the stuffing out of the little bow-legged animal and would have chewed him up if he hadn't run down the alley. But would you believe the very next day, he was back. Same time, same results. Beat up again. Once again, the bulldog had had enough, and he crawled back under the fence and found his way home to lick his wounds. Well, said the evangelist, I had to leave for a revival meeting. I had gone for several weeks. And when I came back home, I asked my wife what had happened. And she said, well, honey, you just won't believe what's happened. Every day at the same time, every morning, that little bulldog comes into the backyard and fought with our two setters. He didn't miss one day. And I want you to know it has come to the point that when our setters simply hear the bulldog snorting down the alley and spot him squeezing under the fence, they immediately start whining and run down into the basement. That little old bulldog struts around our backyard now like he owns it. And I want to tell you this morning, I want you to have bulldog mentality. I want you to have the spirit of a bulldog. I want you to get to the place where when the devil comes snorting around, that you just start saying, and we're going to be talking about somebody this morning named Shammah. And this is what this man was like. And Shammah reminds me of this little bulldog that just would not back off. And if you're in 2 Samuel 23, I want you to turn to verses 11 and 12. And this tells us about one of David's mighty men. There was a group of highly trained soldiers who fought with David and helped him in his victories. And among these men were three others who served as David's personal bodyguards. Now, you know these guys had to be sharp in order to be David's bodyguard. These men and their exploits are described are in these verses. But this morning, I want to focus on one of these special men. His name is Shammah. He is described to us as a man who took a stand against overwhelming odds and won a victory by the help of the Lord. So 2 Samuel 23, verses 11 and 12, it says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a place of ground full of lentils, which is also known as peas. We would know them as peas. So this morning, the title of this sermon is called Fighting for Your Pea Patch. So when all these Philistines came in, the people fled from the Philistines. But he, talking about Shammah, stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. The Bible tells us that the Philistines attacked the people of God. When they came, all the people ran away, all that is except one man named Shammah. And he took a stand in the field of peas, and he won a great victory. And I would like for us to take a few minutes this morning to look at this man. There's two aspects of the story that I want you to get. There's a time to take a stand, and there's a time to fight. And even when you feel like you're outnumbered, there's a time to fight. Fight who? Each other? No, we don't fight each other. We love each other. The Bible talks about we fight the good fight of faith. The Bible is clear that when it tells us that the Philistines were attacking the people of God, it was a time of great conflict for the children of Israel. And notice what the Bible reveals about this time. These verses tell us that when the Philistines came, the people in the fields ran away. This lets us know that the enemy most likely came during the time of the harvest. It was a time when the people were very occupied in the business of getting the crops in. They were working hard, and they were not prepared for war. And this is still when the enemy comes. You see, the harvest time is a time of great joy. So when you least expect it, sometimes you can get blindsided. They've been out in the field attending these crops, pulling weeds in the hot sun. Anybody ever done that? That's a grueling job. I hated that. When I was a kid, my father would say, go to the garden and pull up weeds. Please, God, please, Dad, just beat me anything, but please don't make me do that, you know. And then if that wasn't bad enough, he'd say, pick up the rocks, too. Yeah. And they were picking up rocks so that the crop of peas could grow, and now they were getting ready to see the fruits of their harvest. They had been busy growing food for their families. They weren't bothering anybody. They're just doing their work. It was hard work. And then out of the blue comes an enemy. An enemy comes in to attack them and their crops. Why? The enemy came against Israel for two reasons: to inflict casualties and to destroy the crops. The Philistines knew that if they could wound their enemies and bring them to a place of hunger, they would easily defeated and be enslaved. So you see, and that's the same way it is today. If Satan can get you to quit reading the Bible, if he can get you to quit coming to church, he knows you'll become weak, and then he'll move in for the kill. I'm just telling you. I said this to my class many times on Wednesday night. You know, there used to be an animal show, Mutual of Omaha or something like that. And I would sit there as a child, and I would see it happening. There's the zebras, and they're running in a pack, and they're all running, and there's the lion. And I'm like, I worried about them, because I knew that the ones that were on the outside would what? They get picked off first, right? And that's the way it is, even today in our Christian lives. If you're on the outside, if you just come in when you feel like it, when you just want to come to church, I'm going to tell you right now, you're easy pickings for the devil. You're just like that zebra. You're vulnerable for an attack. I'm telling you, we need to get in church. We need to come to church. If you're on vacation, that's one thing. But if you're not on vacation, you need to be in the house of God. And get into your word and study the word and pray and listen to Christian music and listen to good Christian teaching to build up your spirit, man, because the Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I don't want to see any of you being like those zebras and being picked off. So those soldiers would march through the field, trampling down the crops and slaughtering all that stood in their way. So these Israelites had a mess on their hands after they had done all of these weeks of growing this pea patch out in the hot sun, tending to the weeds. Then in one day's time, their enemy, the Philistines, would show up and in one day wipe out their crop and kill them. If they got in the way, they would kill them. And this verse tells us that the enemy came, all the people fled from before them. What the enemy found there was no opposition. We'll go in. We'll do it. You know, nobody's going to fight us. I want to tell you something. I believe this is for somebody here today. People will only do to you what you allow them to do. When you say it's enough, I had to do that one time. There was a man, someone in my family, that just kept making little remarks against me, a little put downs, and he would embarrass me in front of people. And this just went on and on. Finally, I had enough. And he started in on me one day, and I looked at him and I said, "You won't do that anymore." And guess what? He didn't do it anymore. When you've had enough, people will only do to you what you allow. People will only say to you what you allow. If you don't like what people are saying to you, tell them to stop it. "Oh, well, I can't do that, Pastor." Yes, you can. You can do it nicely. You don't have to be hateful, but you can just say, "You know what? I don't like it when you talk to me like that. I don't feel like you're respecting me, and I don't appreciate it, and I would like for you to stop that." It's going to shock them, but you know what? Chances are they're going to stop it. But what you allow is what they'll do. Somebody needed that today. So these Philistines, they would march right into the field where these people had been working so hard, and when the people would see them, they would flee in terror. No one had the courage to stand up against the attack of the enemy and look them in the eye and say, "By the grace of God, you will not destroy this pea patch today." Because evidently these Philistines had been doing this for years. They would just show up, and after they had done all this work, the Philistines would just show up and just start tearing up the garden, tearing up all their work. And what they would do is they would run. I believe this is still going on today. Too many times a problem arises and we think it has to be this way. Somebody, you know, people will tell you, a doctor will give you a report and say, "This is how it is." And do you have to take it as it is? It has to be this way? Or you get a report about your child at school. We want to do all kind of tests on him. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with testing or anything like that. Please don't think that. But when they start wanting to administrate drugs to him and all of this kind of stuff, I think you need to be careful. I'll just say it. Be careful what you allow the government to do to your children. God gave those children to you, not to the government to raise. But people are doing this today, they feel like it has to be that way, but that's not what God says. His word says all things are possible to him who believes. The Bible tells us that Shammah stood. He resolved in his heart that he would fight for that pea patch. He made up his mind that he would not run away from the battle. Maybe he had run before, but not this time. Today he would stand and he would fight, even if it cost him his life. You see, Shammah knew that there were some things worth fighting for. Is there anything in your life that you can say, enough is enough? Are you tired of Satan messing with your family? Oh, there should be some more amens on that. He will come after your family. Wisen up. He will come after your family. Because if he can get to your family, he can get to you. Are you tired of him messing with your finances? Are you tired of Satan messing with your marriage? He will come after your marriage. Do whatever you can to guard your marriage. I like what I heard Joyce say, Joyce Myers. I heard her the other day, and she said something about, "And the two shall become one." Shall become one. Most of the time, we marry opposites. When I married Jim, he was so opposite. He put gravy on his rice. And I'm like, "Put gravy on your rice? I always put sugar and milk on my rice." That's from the South. That's what we did. We put milk on our rice and some sugar. And the first time I saw Jim put brown gravy on his rice, I'm like, "Oh my, what are you doing?" He was very laid back, easygoing. And when he married me, I was very much a redhead at that time. And I had a temper. And I mean, I had a temper. And I would throw things. Yeah, one time I threw a bottle of Aquanet or something. I'm like, you know. And I missed him. I was a pretty good pitcher back then, but I somehow missed him. When he would see I was ready for a fight, he would just leave. He'd say, "I'll be back in a little bit." And so we were opposites. because, but that's what drew me to him. He was opposite to me. I didn't want somebody just like me. I dated a guy that was something like me, and he was no challenge. I'm sorry, but I knew I could whip him. if I'd have married him, he'd have been whipped within a month. Oh, my. I'm not kidding you. I'm just telling you. I know me. But Jim Hamby wouldn't let, oh, no, you know, and there was the challenge right there, you know. And so we grew together. The Bible says you will become as one. It doesn't say you're going to start out as one, right? You will become as one. So that means you're going to have to put up with a few things. I put up with some things with him when he was alive. When he would put his dirty socks down, and I'd be like, you know, like Mallory, you know. And you know, and he would put up some things with me, you know. I will never forget. I can't believe I'm going to tell you this. I can't believe I'm telling you this. But one time, I made banana pudding and forgot to put the bananas in. I dyed my hair blonde, so it must have been a blonde moment. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Any blondes in here? I'm sorry. But you become as one. You're not going to start out as one. You become as one. You have to work on it. You roll with the punches. Your mate is going to do and say things that's going to run you right up the wall. Do I have an amen? Yes. All right. But God, you took a vow and you said what God has put, God said in his word, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, right? So you took a vow before God that you would honor, cherish, and they've taken out that word obey. I said obey, but they don't say that anymore. But if you're tired of Satan messing with your marriage, then do something about it. Fight for it. Fight for it. So why did Shammah fight? He knew that without food, the people would perish. He knew that people had to eat, and if they were going to eat, the fields had to be defended. Shammah knew that some things were worth fighting for. Are there people in your life that are worth fighting for? Don't give up on them. Don't quit on them. Don't stop fighting for your kids. Don't stop fighting for a good report. If Satan, if the doctor has given you a bad report, and like Tommy was saying, but you are believing for a good report, it's to say, what do you do in the hallway? When the one door has shut and the other door hasn't opened up yet, and you're in a dark hallway, what do you do? What do you do from the time that you start believing God until you see the manifestation? The Bible says, hold fast your confession of faith. How do you hold fast? And I've shared this before. How do you hold fast your confession of faith? You hallelujah. It's like if you were, where's Caleb? I'm going to pick on him a minute. Caleb, if we're on top of the Empire State Building and there's a rope there and a big gust of wind blows you over the side of the building, and you grab hold of the end of the rope on one side, and I grab hold of the end of the rope on, I'm still standing. You're hanging off the Empire State Building. Do you want me to hang fast, which would mean to be hold tight, or would you like me to be just like loose? Think about it, brother. What do you want me to do? Hold fast or hold loose? Hold fast, he says. That's what it's like when you hold fast to your confession of faith. You're like a bulldog. You're like a pit bull with a bone in his mouth. And you're like, devil, you're not going to take it from me. I'm believing for a victorious report. By faith I take it. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to quit confessing the word of God. He said that by his stripes I'm healed, so therefore I'm healed. Whether I see it or whether I don't, whether I feel like it or whether I don't, by his stripes I'm healed, and I'm holding fast to that confession of faith. That's what you do in the hallway. That's what you do when you hear the one report and you start believing until you see the manifestation. You hold fast the confession of faith and you praise God like it's already done. Woo! I'm preaching me happy. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing. These young people right here, they're worth fighting for. They are worth fight. They are worth the fight. Where are the Shammahs in this day that will stand up and fight for the things of God? Are there any Shammahs in here today that you will stand up and you will fight for what is right? Now you got to think about this. Shammah must have really had enough of this bunch of Philistines messing up his life for him to stand up when all the other people had ran off and left him. It was a do or die situation. There's Shammah. There's the Philistines. They are known to kill and think about it later. Here comes the Philistines. Here's the people. They all run off. And Shammah's going, where are you going? And there comes the Philistines. And they've got blood in their eyes ready to kill. And Shammah said, not today. You're not going to do it today. Hallelujah. It was do or die. And Shammah wasn't going to let these Philistines push him around anymore. And we see that even though the people ran off and left him, Shammah did not run off. And guess who was right there in the middle of that mess? With Shammah. Almighty God Jehovah was in that mess with him. Shammah isn't the only one, though, that God delivered in the middle of their mess. Guess where else God showed up? God showed up in the middle of the fire with the three Hebrew children. Because these three would not bow down to an idol, God showed up in the middle of the fire with them and delivered them out of the middle of a fiery furnace. And not only did he deliver them, but he caused that king to promote these boys. God also showed up in the middle of a lion's den. He caused an angel to go in there, and they threw old Daniel down in the lion's den. And I want to tell you something. These lions were hungry. We'll see it later, because when the men that caused Daniel to be thrown in, when they threw them into the lion's den, before their bodies could hit the floor, the lions devoured them. That's hungry. That's some of you all at Arby's. No. I'm just kidding. But God caused an angel to go in there. So here they throw Daniel into the lion's den, and an angel caused the lions to go to sleep and shut their mouths, and God was able to help Daniel to just kind of plump up one of those lions and go to sleep on him. You know, I this may sound silly, but I use this when my neighbor's dogs start barking at night, and you're trying to go to sleep. I feel like I'm in a dog pound. You know. And I have prayed and I said, God, just like you shut the mouths of the lions, I'm asking you to shut those dogs up right now. And boom, there they go. I'm not kidding you. It's happened more than once. All of a sudden, quiet. Praise God. You can use the word. Jesus showed up in the middle of a storm in Mark 6:47. The Bible says, when the evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the lake. He saw his disciples struggling at the oars. There's a storm there because the wind was against them. And he went out to them, walking on the water to the middle of the sea. So right in the middle of their storm, Jesus comes walking out in the middle of their storm and takes care of them and helps them. The Bible tells us also that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God also showed up in the prison house and shook the place when Paul and Silas started singing praises at the midnight hour. Hallelujah. There they were in the prison house. They were beaten. They're in they say that these prisons they were in were rat infested. They smelled like feces. They smelled like urine. It was a vulgar, nasty place to be. And Paul and Silas, instead of sitting there going, I never had it this bad when I was a sinner. No. No, they didn't do that. They got up at the midnight hour, and they just started singing. Hey, praise the Lord. Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah. And they started worshiping God, and all of a sudden, the building started shaking, and the doors flew open, and God gave them victory in that situation. God will get in the middle of your mess. The Bible tells us that Shammah slew the enemies of the people of God. Because he fought, he enjoyed a great victory. If he had run away like all the others, he would have been a coward and he would have been defeated. And the enemy would have prevailed. We must take a stand for the things of the Lord. We must take our stand for that which is right and for that which is important. Because if we don't, who will? If you don't take a stand for your family, who will? If you don't take a stand for your children, who will? If you don't take a stand for your marriage, who will? The last part of verse 12 tells us that the one who really won the victory was God. He gave Shammah the ability to stand. God gave Shammah the power to fight. He gave Shammah the skill to win. He gave Shammah the victory over his enemies. Shammah may have held the sword, but it was God who fought the battle. And it's the same way today. You may be in the fight, and you may be standing there with the word of God, your sword, but it is God who will fight your battle for you. God added his super to Shammah's natural, which made it supernatural. And it was the same way when David walked into the valley against Goliath. He came at Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, and he said, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, he even put a time limit on it. Oh, I like that. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will smite you, you dog. I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head off of you, and I'm going to give your lousy carcass," and this is Sandy version, all right, "I'm giving your sorry carcass to the host of the Philistine this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel." Woo! Hallelujah! We need to start calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm more convinced of that than ever. If it's in the Word and it lines up with the Word, then I dare you to start claiming it. If it's finances you need, then you start. If you need $500, then you say, "Lord, according to your Word, you know I need this. You said you supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank you for it. I believe I receive it. And Lord, I just thank you." When you start thanking Him before you ever see the answer, you are calling those things that be not as though they already were. Woo! David didn't back down either. And I'm encouraging you this morning to take your stand against the enemy and fight the good fight of faith. Because God had one man named Shammah who was willing to stand. The fields were protected and the people were saved from starvation and slavery. What are you willing to stand for this morning? I really believe we need to start raising some standards in our lives. Everything goes now. Anything goes. You know, no, it doesn't. It doesn't go. There are some things we need to stand up and say, that's not right. It's a sin. God don't like it. Is it easy to do? No. But you know what? God will bless you for it. When you make a stand for Him, whether you're at school or whether you're at your job or even in your own home, people that are unbelievers come in your home and they start putting you down and saying, "I don't know why you go to church. I don't know why you pay your tithes. I don't know why you're always doing this and that." You stand up and you say, "That's because I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord." I remember one time I went to a sinner's house. It was a party and it was family, and I went in there and I was just minding my own business, but they knew I was a Christian. And I heard one of the women say, "Well, how come you're not smoking right now? How come you're not drinking?" or whatever it was. And I heard her whisper and she say, "I can't until Sandy leaves." I thought, God will still be here when I leave. Don't worry about me. God will still be there watching everything you're doing. Take a stand. We need to come to the place that whether anyone stands with us or not, we will stand. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You have weapons. Oh, man, you have great weapons. The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, praise and worship. These are all weapons, the word of God. The enemy is still attacking the people of God just as he did through the Philistines. And just like then, people are still fleeing from the scene. If things get a little too hot in church, they run off. If they get a little too uncomfortable, they run off. If it's snowing, they don't come. If it's snowing real bad, I understand. But if there's a little bit of snow on your ground, I'm pretty sure that you're going to go to Walmart. And I'm pretty sure that if you can stay home sick from your pinky finger hurting on Sunday, then you need to stay home on Monday. All right, move on. Okay, got it. But I believe that we have some people in this church this morning that's like old Shammah, and you're ready to stand your ground, and you're ready to say, enough is enough. I'm ready to fight for my marriage. I'm ready to fight for my kids, and I'm ready to take a stand for Jesus Christ. If this is true, if there's anybody in here this morning that you're willing to take a stand, and you're ready to get some backbone and courage, I dare you to stand up. Let me just say this before we go any further. I'd like for everyone to be still. They're moving around. They're talking. And if your cell phone rings, leave it alone. Sometimes in the house of God, you just need to turn it off. I'm just saying. If there's anyone here this morning that you have never known the Lord, I just want to open these altars to you right now. I want everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes. No looking around, no talking. This is God's time. If there's anyone here that you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart and life, I don't want to rush on. I want you to have the ability to ask him into your heart and life. Or maybe you kind of backed away from him. Maybe you're not serving him like you used to. And you would like to rededicate your life this morning. I just want you to know these altars are open, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Because you know what? We are in a battle, and there is a fight. But God said he would be in the middle of that mess with you. And now, right now, I would like to pray a prayer over you. For those of you that will say, I'm and everyone stood, so I'm just saying, I believe that you're willing to take a stand for the things that are important to you, that you're not going to run off anymore. You're not going to lay down the Bible and say, I don't know what to do. No, if anything, you're going to press in. You're going to hold your head up high. You're going to be like old Shammah, and you're going to say, it's enough. I'm not running anywhere anymore. My children are important to me. My marriage is important to me. My finances are important to me, and I'm not going to back away anymore. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray as a pastor of this congregation, I pray and I take the authority right now. I ask you, Lord, to bless each one, Father, here this morning. I ask you, God, give us backbone. Lord, give us courage to stand for the things that are right, even when it's not easy, Lord, that we will stand up and do the right thing at the right time. Lord, I pray for a holy boldness like that was mentioned in the book of Acts. I'm asking you, God, for a boldness that would ripple up and down our backbone, Lord, that we will stand and say, I'm fighting for my kids, and I'm fighting for that which is right. And Lord, that we will say with our mouths, and we will speak the word of God, and we will call those things that be not as though they were. And Lord, that we won't back off an inch when we're in the hallway. Lord, when we've started praying in faith, but we haven't seen the manifestation, Lord, that when we're in that place, we will praise you, God. We will praise you, and we will hold fast, Lord, your word that says that you would come through for us just like you did Shammah. And Lord, we give you the praise for it. And Lord, I pray for this congregation. Lord, I ask you to bless each one spiritually, physically, financially, mentally. I pray your richest blessings upon us this morning. And Lord, I pray that those that are going on vacation, God, that you would bless them and protect them and give them supernatural favor. And Lord, bring them back to us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Is there any? Okay, be seated for just a few minutes.